Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, Grapple fans. Welcome to WrestleMania. Yes, it's finally here. It's upon us. It's WrestleMania week. And as wrestling fans, obviously, this is a bit like our Christmas. We all get a bit excited because there's just so much happening and so much to talk about. So here we are with this WrestleMania special edition of the Pro Wrestling Index right here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. Myself, Andy Wills, here as host, of course, to talk you through, but I won't be doing it by myself. Oh, no, 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 no. Of course, my on-air tag team partner, Mo Chatra, is here with me. And Mo, great show for us tonight. We've got loads to talk about. I know we ran down the card last week, but between NXT, Hall of Fame, nostalgia, go-home shows, and so much more in between, it's going to be a jam-packed hour, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really kicking off big time now for wrestling fans. It's the biggest time of the year if you're a wrestling fan. Obviously, WrestleMania this weekend. We've got NXT TakeOver. We've got the WWE Hall of Fame. And if you're into other promotions, they've all assembled in Orlando now. And starting tonight, one of WWE's independent affiliate promotions, Evolve, is running its first show of the weekend. Starting in 2 or 3 hours' time as we record this. So, it's all happening. The entire wrestling world seems to have assembled in Orlando. It's just us that are not there, but, we're certainly there in spirit. And, we'll certainly be conveying that over the next hour on this latest installment of the Pro Wrestling Index.
Yeah, as we say, so much to talk about, so much to talk about. And like you say, Mo, there is so much happening in and around the area. It's not just about WWE. It's not just about WrestleMania itself. Obviously, yes, there is the Hall of Fame. There's also NXT. Like you said, there's Evolve. So many more indie shows running in the area. There's events, one-man shows like Jim Ross and such forth. As a wrestling fan, it is just, I guess it's the equivalent of going to a Comic Con if you were a comic fan. There's just everything and anything happening. It's an extravaganza. There's people from all over the world. It's just an unbelievable event, and it's a happening. That's basically what it is. It's an annual happening. So let's get things started with NXT TakeOver. In all honesty, I don't really want to go through it match by match because I'll be honest here, even as a fan of NXT, and I've been watching it for probably 3 years plus now, week in, week out, and I really do enjoy the product. I do think it's kind of dropped off mostly as of late. I think it's kind of suffered a bit from the brand split and being raided quite heavily. But three matches, the title matches, do stand out on this card. And to start it off with, let's look at the tag team title match, a three-way tag team title match between the Authors of Pain. Is that a Freudian slip there? Authors of Pain, DIY and Revival. This match, I am looking forward to more.
As am I. I have to agree with you, though. The weekly TV show I'm increasingly finding to be a chore to get through. I felt this way for a good while now, probably a year or 18, maybe not 18 months, but certainly the best part of a year. I remember early 2016, the weekly show at least was really not doing much for me. I thought it slightly improved towards the back end of last year with some of the title changes and some of the stuff that was going back and forth between Nakamura and Samoa Joe. But again, since Joe has left, I think it's dropped off. And so the women's division's really suffered with pretty much all of their best talent having left in the last 18 or so months. So it's going through a transitional phase, and it's not probably going to be a stronger takeover event as we've seen in the past. But I think this tag match, the elimination tag match, will be probably the second best match on the show. I mean, DIY and the Revival, we know what they're capable of. They had a fantastic match of the year contender only, 4 months ago, just before the Survivor Series at the takeover event then. And Authors of Pain at the last takeover show when they won the tag titles had a heck of a match against DIY. So, you know, though the Authors of Pain are clearly still green and nowhere near the level of workers that DIY and the Revival are, you know, the three teams, I'm sure between them will muster up enough, you know, great memorable spots and assemble a really good match. And I think that the Authors of Pain will retain the titles. I feel that at least one of the three tag teams will be moving up to the main roster. We'll talk about that later on. But Authors of Pain for me retain, and I think it'll be pretty damn good.
Yeah, I can't see anything but the Authors of Pain retaining here myself. And just kind of just slightly off topic here, just to contrast this takeover with the one a year ago, which probably in some ways overshadowed WrestleMania itself. It was such a great event. It really was. And there was so much excitement and anticipation in the air ready for that one. Not quite the same here. And that is a little bit of a shame. So yeah, NXT has taken a bit of a hit. It is a little bit in the doldrums, so to speak, you know, like you say, just thin on the ground for recognizable talent. So it's a real sort of trying time for them, a transitional time, as you said. So going to be interesting. And for the women's title match between Asuka and Ember Moon, I can see a title change here. I think it's finally time for it to happen. And the women's division has really gone under a transitional time, like you mentioned. And perhaps if Asuka moves on and Ember Moon is the champion, perhaps it, you know, I keep saying perhaps, just maybe, just maybe, with what fans may perceive as a bit more of a level playing field, maybe that might in some way actually help the women's division kind of rebuild itself somewhat.
No, that's a good point. Asuka's so far and away the best talent on the women's roster that she really does overshadow all the rest of them. You know, it's coming up to a year now since she won the title at NXT TakeOver Dallas before last year's WrestleMania. And, you know, it's been a good title reign, but, you know, she's been so dominant, including against opponents that you'd expected her to have had a bit more of a challenging kind of program with. But, you know, it's really coming up to the time at which she needs to step up to the main roster. She's really far too good to be in NXT now. NXT, bear in mind, is supposed to be the developmental brand where you know, up-and-coming talents come in or established talents from elsewhere come in just to polish up on the WWE way of working. You know, she's had that time now, and it's really high time she steps into either Raw or SmackDown, preferably the latter. So for that reason, it would be the right thing for Ember Moon to win the title and take the women's division in a slightly different direction. As I've mentioned, you know, a few weeks back, you know, they've got a couple of decent talents coming in to NXT in the upcoming weeks. So, you know, who are pretty good compared to some of the others that they've got on the women's division at the moment. But yeah, Asuka, you know, has to move on, and therefore Ember Moon should win the title. It won't be a great match, obviously. Ember Moon's, you know, not a fantastic worker by any means, but I think it will still be perfectly fine. And I'm really hoping it is a title change, because if it isn't, then you know, it just makes the division feel even more stale than it already is.
Yeah, I mean, Nikki Cross is you'd think is probably the next logical person that could step up to that, and that might be an ideal opponent for Ember Moon. She's a really good talent. She's a really good worker. Got a new type of character. Got that nailed down. So it would then take NXT off in a new direction and just allow them to move on. So interesting times ahead. But what about the NXT title match? Bobby Roode, absolutely glorious over this past year. You know, leading up to it. I'll be honest, I've been slightly disappointed in his time actually as champion, and I think that's not so much down to him as just the way the show has gone. It's kind of almost took a bit of a shine off him, and this I feel will be a great match between Roode and Nakamura, but I don't feel as pumped as excited for this match as I really should be.
Yeah, I mean, it's a case of Roode's title reign being a victim of the poor booking on the weekly show. The show being an hour long should be ideal to get talents over and feuds over, because you can pace things out better. You know, you don't have to have an oversaturation of programs or of individuals or tag teams by them being presented every single week, and sometimes two or three times in a show, and having the same match with the same opponents over and over again. So they've got that advantage with the 1 hour show. But they lost a great writer in Ryan Ward to SmackDown, and he's been doing a pretty good job over there. And I don't know who's replaced him, but, they're clearly not as talented as Ryan, is. And, you know, it's for that reason that, you know, this title reign for Bobby Roode hasn't really built up a head of steam since he won the belt a couple of months ago. I do think, though, however, that you know, he will be retaining the title. I'd be surprised to see Nakamura win, purely because I think that he, like Asuka, is primed and ready to step up to the main roster. You know, he's in his late 30s, and time's running out for him. You know, he can't be spending another 6, 9, 12 months in NXT. He's ready right now. He's arguably the best talent in the entire company. So for him to still be stuck in developmental, you know, for me, is just a bit of a nonsense, really. So for that reason, Nakamura has to lose. Bobby Roode has to retain. I'm sure it will be a really good match, though, and you know, it'll be a fitting end to the show. But if it's a Nakamura win, then again, you've got to question exactly what the thought process is about who deserves to go up and who doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, logic sort of tells you that everything kind of looks laid out, but you never know with WWE sometimes. But yeah, it should, as you say, it should still be a cracking match. So, I mean, we've kind of skated around it, but after this takeover program, more, who do you think then? Who's going to move up to that main roster? Do we pick some names out here? Because I know one name that has been mentioned a few times by a few different people is Ty Dillinger. Now, personally, I don't think this would be the right time to move him, even though his 10 gimmick did get over with the crowd, and especially at Royal Rumble, you know, that was a nice moment. Personally, I think it would make more sense to hold that off to the summer, or even later in the year, kind of build him up towards perhaps being, you know, the guy who takes the belt at the next takeover event at SummerSlam, really build his character, get him actually hot before he moves across. I don't want to see people move up to the main roster and basically become jobbers, as for want of a better word. So who do you see then moving up after this event?
Well, we have to stop agreeing like this, Andy, but I totally agree. Ty Dillinger's the perfect opponent for Bobby Roode for this for post-takeover. You know, Bobby Roode needs a new opponent, assuming Nakamura loses the title match. And Ty Dillinger's over, he's talented, and you know, he'd be the right opponent, the perfect opponent for the takeover prior to SummerSlam. But Nakamura, Asuka are two that I certainly think are ready, and I'd be surprised if they aren't brought up you know, imminently. Of that tag team match that we discussed earlier, I think that the Revival, their time is now. They worked hard in NXT for several years. They've proved themselves over and over again. Last year on the NXT house shows, they were consistently putting on the best matches on those events. And, you know, they work really hard, very well liked within the company. They've done everything right. You know, model professionals, you know, if what they've done isn't enough for a call up right now, then I really don't know what is. But, you know, it's typical that after WrestleMania, 4, 5, even 6 acts do get brought up. But I think on this occasion, because there is that kind of lack of depth, I think we might just get the three. I think one male, one female, one tag team, and that will be a lot for the time being. And I personally don't have a problem with that.
I have to agree. We are agreeing a lot here tonight, but yeah, I do have to agree. Yeah, Nakamura, Asuka, Revival, they absolutely jump off the page. I did make my prediction last week that we could see the Revival form part of a stable on Raw with Triple H and Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens, and as a kind of like a dark horse option, I think perhaps we might even see DIY appear on SmackDown just to fill out that roster there and be someone new to feud with, not only the Usos, perhaps American Alpha as well. So, but yeah, I can't see any more than those, though. I really can't, and it would be detrimental to NXT at this point to hit them even harder than they already have been. So yeah, I am looking forward to the event because they're always good to watch. Not quite as excited as previous ones, but I do think overall this will be a good show, and like yourself, just hope that they don't get hurt too much by call-ups.
No, I agree. It's you know, a great show, also because of the fans as well. You know, the fans that turn up are the real hardcore WWE fans, and they create an amazing atmosphere. And the other added thing is, because it's WrestleMania weekend, there's going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of fans coming over from the UK. And it's the British fans that are arguably the most vociferous of all of the WWE fans from around the globe. And they really make the takeover shows a very memorable one. If for nothing else, then they're a very unique chants and songs and all the rest of it. So the atmosphere should be great. And for that alone, you know, it should be at least a decent event, if not a really good one.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because the atmosphere really adds to a show. So, yeah, the atmosphere can definitely help that notch it up a little bit. And that in itself will be something to look forward to, is the crowd. Something else I am looking forward to is the Hall of Fame. It's always been one of my favourite things. I personally just like the old stories. I like the induction speeches. I like the people inducting them making their speeches, apart from Vader, decided he needed an hour and a half to induct someone. But I am looking forward to this one more. And I mean, I think it is a good class this year. The Rock and Roll Express, Beth Phoenix, Rick Rude, Kurt Angle. I think we've got a really good class of 2017.
Oh yeah, I agree. A really nice lineup, and now we've got a nice mixture, and obviously it's more than just the Hall of Fame for the WWE. It's become more of a pro wrestling Hall of Fame now, and you know, you've got the likes of the Rock and Roll Express that made their names in NWA and various territories, WCW, Smoky Mountain, promotions like these and a classic tag team that inspired many, not least of which the Rockers and one Shawn Michaels, who arguably was a star of that tag team. But, you know, as a long-term fan like yourself, really enjoy these events and seeing these blasts from the past turn up and tell their stories. And who can forget the Fabulous Freebirds last year, one of the all-time great inductions, and some of the stories from Michael P.S. Hayes were just absolutely brilliant. Had the crowd, the audience in stitches, and I'm sure we'll get some cracking stories as well from the people that are being inducted as well as those that will be inducting them. So a real good feel good event, and a perfect curtain raiser to the weekend. And obviously that will be taking place on the Friday night / Saturday morning UK time. So can't wait for it.
Yeah, that will probably be something that I watch when I get up on Saturday morning. I don't think I'll be staying up till like 1 o'clock in the morning UK time to watch that. I will, however, get up a little earlier than usual on a Saturday morning, and I will enjoy watching that. So there you go. Now, more before we plow on any further, I've just to let everyone know that because we're going to be doing nostalgia, and to forewarn you yourself, I do want to get yourself warmed up. Is before we really crack into WrestleMania things, is we will be having a WrestleMania quiz shortly. So the listeners at home, get yourself prepared if you want to get a pen and paper and mark yourself down if you want to go along, see how many you get. But before we really sort of crack into full WrestleMania mode, what about the go-home shows this week, Mo? Raw, SmackDown, was there anything that caught your eye? Because I'll be honest, I other than a very good John Cena promo, and I don't think John Cena is fantastic on the mic. He delivers just cheesy scripted promos most of the time for my liking, but I thought he gave a really good promo. Other than that, I found Raw, SmackDown to be pretty nondescript.
I thought they were very safe shows. They really didn't go out of their way to do anything particularly noteworthy. All of the stuff that they presented on both shows were the types of angles that, you know, we've seen a thousand times, and contract signings and you know, things like this. And there's just nothing imaginative, nothing that was out of the box, nothing that really made you sit up and take notice. And unfortunately, that's the way that you know, we get television, you know, delivered to us from WWE. There's very, very little that really, you know, grabs your attention. And often the stuff that does is stuff that's real. You know, if you think back to last year, one of the more notable events was the retirement of Daniel Bryan, and the whole way that was done was very good. But that, again, that was all reality. And when it comes to formulating storylines and creating interest in two individuals, two tag teams, two groups going at it and creating interest and intrigue in their rivalries, it's something that WWE struggles with. But, you know, WrestleMania is something that almost can get by without that kind of hype nowadays, just because of its history and its lineage. It's been going for over 30 years, and just the value attached to that alone helps to create the interest in the event, even if the storylines going into the show and the matches themselves aren't the most inspiring. Yeah, I agree. The TV wasn't all that great this week. The Cena promo on Miz and Maurice was, you know, superb, one of his best for quite a while. And, you know, in fact, Miz and Cena back and forth in recent weeks have been delivering probably the best promos to kind of hype up WrestleMania. But the ending to Raw was really uninspiring. And, Now, a lot of the other stuff in terms of the undercard action didn't really do anything for me. Even the stuff between Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, you know, after they had that magnificent angle a few weeks back where Owens turned on Jericho, since then, it really hasn't done a great deal for me. But, I mean, all that said, you just know that come WrestleMania, they'll have a killer match. So you could almost forgive them for having a slightly subdued, slightly underwhelming build-up to the show and to their match. But, yeah, TV wasn't great this week. And I'm hoping that next week it's a complete turnaround and there's some momentous stuff that sets things up nicely for the weeks and months ahead.
Yeah, I will actually give some props to Seth Rollins. He gave quite possibly his best babyface promo, you know, because it felt so impassioned. And since he's turned, so that was a good promo as well. The only other thing of note was probably Naomi reappearing on SmackDown. That was a surprise. I've got to say,
she's got the best hair in the business, hasn't she?
The thing is, though, if she's ready to come back, why bring her back on TV, you know, a few days beforehand? Why not save that for the night, you know, to get a pop from the crowd? I was a little confused by that more.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's not as if Naomi, with respect, is going to pop a rating. It's not as if hundreds of thousands of people are going to tune away from whatever show they're watching to tune into SmackDown. Oh, God, Naomi's turned up on SmackDown. Blimey, let's turn the channel. Yeah. That's not exactly going to happen. It would have been nice to have make the return as a surprise at WrestleMania. That's what we all expected. I don't think any of us expected her to return to TV this week. But she has. It was nice to see her. She got a really good reaction. But I think it would have been a stronger way to do the whole thing if she just made her return at WrestleMania. But
yeah, especially as a hometown girl, you know, as a surprise entrance, I think she would have got a terrific reception. It's probably taken a slight edge off her reception now because people know that she's coming out. So it's a little bit of a shame. And I also, I've got to say, I hate the all the special effects and all of the little tweaks and everything that go into the Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt stuff. You know, it just, oh my God, you know, I know you're asking me to suspend my disbelief, but I'm not going to suspend it that far.
It was just awful.
I'm not watching a horror movie.
Hokey nonsense. You know,
yes,
please.
Just crap. But
yeah.
but on the whole, as you said, just very, very safe shows. 5 hours of filler and basically just kind of not hype, but a bit of promotion for the event. So yeah, not the best go home shows, it has to be said. So anyway, that let's put TV to bed and let's start getting ourselves wound up and excited for the weekend ahead, for WrestleMania itself. And Mo, as the head analyst, I have to test that great big wrestling brain of yours. So I've got
we know how this turned out last time for the Rumble.
Yeah. I caught you off guard slightly with the Rumble one. So I'm hoping you've warmed your brain up here now with a slight bit of forewarning. Although you haven't seen the questions, I must, make that point abundantly clear. So here's a WrestleMania quiz for you. Let's see how you get on. The first one I've got is, can you name the main event of WrestleMania 1?
Oh, that's an easy one. Hulk Hogan and Mr. T versus Rowdy Roddy Piper and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
Absolutely correct. And what year was that?
1985.
Yes, it certainly was. Next up, how many times have The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin fought at WrestleMania? In one-on-one matches, I should say.
Is it 3?
It certainly is. Can you name them 3?
WrestleMania.
Yeah, I've got that bit. No more stalling for time. Come on.
14.
Ooh.
No, he wasn't. No, no. He fought Shawn Michaels at 14, sorry. No, it'd be 15.
Yes.
17.
Yes.
And 19.
Correct. Absolutely correct. I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one. Undertaker is known for the streak, but at which WrestleMania did it begin?
It began at WrestleMania 7 with a victory over Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
It certainly did. And the next one is, do you know who John Cena beat at WrestleMania 21 for his first ever WWE world title?
Well, that would be JBL.
It certainly would. I almost mixed it up with the Big Show, but that was actually the year before for the US title.
Which I can't remember. Just as well.
I can. Now, SummerSlam saw the first ever TLC match, but WrestleMania was host to TLC 2, obviously, and lots of fans remember that as a spectacular match. But what year was that TLC 2? Oh, sorry, which WrestleMania? Not what, oh, right. Not what year?
WrestleMania 17.
It was. You're doing very well here. Few more to go. Right, which WrestleMania saw the first ever Money in the Bank ladder match?
Ooh, that'd be WrestleMania 24.
Ooh, 3 years out. It was WrestleMania 21. I was quite surprised, actually. Didn't realize it was that far back until I checked. And can you name the venue for WrestleMania 20?
Madison Square Garden.
That is correct. And our 10th and final question. What about the venue for WrestleMania 10?
That would be Madison Square Garden again.
Ooh, I was trying to catch it out there with a bit of a trick question. But you're absolutely correct. 9 out of 10. That is impressive. I've got to say, that's very impressive. And the one that you got wrong, well, I had to, I actually had to research it to get there myself. So yeah, 9 out of 10. I got to say, that is why you are the head analyst. That was quite impressive, Mo.
That's not too bad. Could have done better. I'm sure Gags would have done it.
Certainly better than your effort at the Royal Rumble. Let's say.
I'll never leave that one there. No.
I think perhaps we should say no more about that one. Now, on the Pro Wrestling Index Twitter handle, that's at @PW_index, we put out a poll yesterday. Which were your favourite sets of WrestleMania? Now, because we've had 32 WrestleManias to date, we put them out as 1 to 8, 9 to 16, 17 to 24, and then 25 to 32. And perhaps unsurprisingly, we really did have quite a clear winner. In fact, I think it's fair to say that our winner was running wild, brother. It opened up a can of whoop-ass and stomped it dry. And actually, it beat them like a government meal. Mo, can you guess which set were our clear winners with over half the votes?
It wouldn't be 17 to 24.
It certainly would be. Some absolute classics in there. Lots of people picking out as particular favourites, and just some iconic moments, some iconic matches in there. I mean, would that have been your personal choice?
I think they'd have to be, yes. I do think that some of the more recent WrestleManias, maybe not in the last couple of years, but that was certainly some of the late 20s and early 30s ones have been tremendous. But my big downer on those is that increasingly they've become nostalgia shows where, you know, some of the kind of feature stars and feature matches are more based around part-timers and people that were stars, you know, yesteryear, whereas those Attitude Era shows were all about the here and now, and really all about the guys that were, you know, lighting things up on a full-time basis there and then. You know, the only notable exception from that era, I suppose, is the match between Hogan and Rock. That was a special match in its own right, real iconic moment in WrestleMania history. But that was a rarity, whereas increasingly nowadays we're getting you know, these guys, a lot of whom are, you know, getting on a bit, putting in their once a year or twice a year appearances and, you know, dominating WrestleMania at the expense of the younger guys. And that's why, you know, I'm slightly disappointed with the direction WrestleMania is taking in recent years, because, you know, for me, it should be about the culmination of the biggest feuds and biggest matches and creating new stars. And, you know, it's the ideal platform to do that. And WWE doesn't use that opportunity anymore in that way. It's more about putting over your Shane McMahons, your Brock Lesnar's, Goldberg's, Triple H's, Undertaker's. And I just don't think that should be the case. It, you know, it needs to move on. It needs to take a bold new direction. And we're still waiting for that to happen. And until these guys really put over the younger talent in the right way, then, you know, it will continue to be a nostalgia show, unfortunately. But, you know, I don't want to be too negative, because I'm, you know, greatly looking forward to the event. But, you know, that for that reason, I really can't say that the more recent years of WrestleMania's have been amongst the best. And that's why I'd have to go back to that era from 17 to 24.
Yeah, we did have a couple of our listeners very much on the nostalgia side of it. We're very, very keen on the earlier shows, you know, 1 to 8. And I've got to say, one of my favorite ever WrestleManias was WrestleMania 6. And a good friend of the show, Ali Thompson, tweeted us and let us know that, yeah, for him, it's still WrestleMania 6 as the, you know, as the best WrestleMania of all time for him. It was a special show for me. I remember it so vividly. And I think that iconic moment of Hulk Hogan against Ultimate Warrior at that time, the Intercontinental title still meant a hell of a lot. You know, to see title versus title, it felt special, and it was a great event. I mean, is there any other ones? I mean, thoughts on WrestleMania 6 as well, but any other ones in that sort of that 1 to 8 bracket, the early ones that sort of catch your eye?
I'd have to agree. I mean, WrestleMania 6 was extremely memorable, because you know, all these stars that we grew up with, for people of our age, you know, they just lit up that show. It was one of the most star-studded WrestleManias of all time. Yeah, so many big stars, all-time legends of the business, up and down that show. It wasn't a show that was full of great matches. You know, there were perhaps only, you know, arguably only one great match. But you know, in terms of star presence and larger-than-life characters and a really unique setting as well, with 67,000 plus in this Toronto Sky Dome. You know, it was a very memorable event for you know, what we would have been just school kids at the time. And you know, I'm sure that there are younger kids these days that look at an event like last year's WrestleMania from Dallas in front of about 100,000 people in the same type of way. And you know, just as we looked at the likes of Hogan and Warrior as these larger-than-life superstars, I'm sure that some of the youngsters out there look at the likes of John Cena in the same way. So, it's all relative, I suppose, to different phases in your life. But that's one of the beauties of WrestleMania, is that you grow up with it, and you know, you can associate certain memories from outside of wrestling with these types of events. And you know, WrestleMania 6 also was the last year that Liverpool, you know, which we're both a fan of, won the league title. And so 1990,
you had to go there, didn't you?
It's a painful subject, but you know, that was a special year for us Liverpool fans. And You know, we had Italia 90 and things like that. So, you know, that was it. That was a great show in its own right. But, you know, when it came down to match quality and things like that, a lot of the later WrestleManias far exceeded the quality of that show, but still magical in its own right.
Yeah, what one of my memories of that one as well is I'm trying to think of what they were called now, Andre the Giant and Haku.
The Colossal Connection.
That was it, the Colossal Connection against Demolition, and Demolition winning the tag titles. I remember being very happy about that. But something that kind of stuck out for me, I mean, Bobby Heenan was fantastic that night. You know, he was back and forth to the ring a few different times. He's just an absolute star. He was so brilliant as a manager. He's just superb. And one of the things I remember there, it was when Andre the Giant turned on Bobby Heenan. And it was that sight. Was it that WrestleMania? I think where they were all going back, when they all came out in the little miniature rings, those little carts.
Yeah. That's it.
Can you imagine that now? That as an entrance.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, that would be amazing. I love those little rings. and again, it just added to that star aura of these guys, these talents that were coming to the ring. That, you know, they didn't walk to the ring; they were transported to the ring in mini rings. It was just genius. It was, I'm sure Vince McMahon came up with the idea, and they were fantastic ideas. And in fact, it probably helped speed up the show, because without those, I mean, imagine how long it would have taken Andre to get to the ring. You know, it would have taken an hour just for his ring entrance, you know, without those things. So just as well they had them. But those were shows that, you know, really forged that kind of love affair for some of us older fans with WrestleMania, and you know, all these years later, you know, we still anticipate and really look forward to the event, no matter how jaded we are, no matter how cynical we might be about certain aspects of the build-up to the show or about the shows themselves. You know, we still anticipate and look forward to these events, and you know, just as we have for all these years, you know, really looking forward again to WrestleMania 33.
Yeah, I think they should bring back them carts. I want to see Triple H come out and do his full, whatever it's going to be this year, you know, Games of Thrones, his entrance, come out to the top of the ramp, do all that, and then have to stand in a little cart and wait 2 minutes while it wheels him to the ring.
Oh God!
Or John Cena getting all excited and then climbing a cart. Can John Cena or Mojo Rawley? That's got to be the thing. Can one of them little ring carts contain Mojo Rawley?
Oh God, dear! Jumping up the van all the way. Yeah.
Maybe you could tip him over. Anyway, right. So we also were asked via the Twitter handle at PW_index. We asked some of the listeners, send us some of their favorite WrestleMania matches, their favorite WrestleManias. Munta Buhindi sent into us his favorite WrestleMania was WrestleMania 10, and his favorite match being Stone Cold versus Bret Hart, the submission match at WrestleMania 13. Now, more, I've got to say, I can't remember offhand a great deal about WrestleMania 10 other than Bret Hart and Owen Hart having a cracking match. Owen Hart winning, then Bret Hart winning the title later that night. But, my God, how can I ever forget Bret Hart versus Stone Cold at WrestleMania 13? One of the greatest matches I've ever seen. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, God, it was amazing. No, the double turn was in-ring storytelling at its absolute finest. You really don't get storytelling of that caliber all too often, you know, in the history of the pro wrestling business. And that was, you know, Bret Hart and Stone Cold at their absolute peak. You know, to get somebody who was so beloved in Bret Hart and somebody who was quite loathed at the time in Austin, you know, walk into that match with those types of reactions and walk out with completely different reactions, was genius on the part of both of the individuals. And all credit to them. You know, it's not many people, even with that kind of storyline, that could pull off getting and extracting those types of reactions from the fans. And it was all down to the quality of the work from both individuals. So, you know, that was really, really one of the all-time great WrestleMania matches. And as I say, in terms of storytelling in the pro wrestling ring, you really don't get much better than that.
Yeah, it just such a tremendous match. And just like you say, you know, storytelling at its finest from both guys. Two of the, to my two favourites, I've got to say, my two favourites of all time, just great at what they did. Bret Hart's just incredible worker. Such, he just so smooth. He made it, it just made it look effortless. Just so good. Going back and watching him, and I mean, Hazim here says his favourite was Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle from WrestleMania 21. Even though he's got WrestleMania 30 as his favourite WrestleMania, one of the later ones. But Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle, WrestleMania 21, you remember that match?
Just about, yes. I remember the two having an amazing match. I think at the time I rated it something like 4 3/4 stars. I'm a star ratings guy, so I do give out star ratings for matches. And no, that would certainly put it amongst the very, very best WrestleMania matches of all time. You know, Kurt Angle was pretty much at his peak still at that time. And Shawn Michaels had made that successful return from his back injury, and you know, he was, you know, well into his post return career, and you know, that was going fantastically well. And you know, it was arguably the two best in-ring workers in the WWE going at it, and they pulled off an amazing match that night. And yeah, as I say, once again, like the Bret Hart and Stone Cold match from 13. One of the best ever contests in the history of WrestleMania.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 17 and 18 seems to be a recurring theme. It's come up with a lot of people. They're very, 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 very keen on that one. It's, you know, they're both high on the list. Do they both rank up there for you?
Oh, they do, yes. You know, really high up the list. Very, very good. And you know, it's difficult in a way because, you know, there's so much competition. You know, we're talking 32 years, I guess, over 33 events, you know, coming up after this weekend, to compare against. And, you know, over that time period, you know, we've been treated to some absolutely fantastic, in-ring material. And, you know, there's been great matches all the way going back to WrestleMania 3 with the first truly great WrestleMania match between Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Macho Man Randy Savage, all the way up to you know, a couple of the matches from last year's WrestleMania and all parts in between. You know, we've had in that time, you know, a good two, three dozen, well, you know, several dozen, you know, exception matches, and you know, in that time as well, some very, very good shows. And that's why WrestleMania is what it is. And that's why the talents that appear at WrestleMania, you know, step things up. And, you know, if you watched, you know, WWE 24, the WWE Network's show, you know, they've got one of their episodes from last year showing the behind-the-scenes stuff from WrestleMania, from WrestleMania 32. And you can see what it means to the people that appear at WrestleMania, not only just to appear on the show, but to, you know, all the work that goes into it, you know, in terms of the work in the weeks leading up to the show, also the journeys to get there. In some cases, those journeys last many, many years. And, you know, we had AJ Styles talking about, all the many years that he worked so hard, to eventually get into the WWE. And, you know, he said that, you know, despite losing to Jericho in his match, at last year's WrestleMania, he still felt like a winner because of appearing on that big show. So, that's what it means to the talents that are involved. And, you know, it's, worth it, all that sacrifice and the time that they give. And they really do sacrifice so much, believe me. You know, for them, any talent to appear at WrestleMania is an honor and a privilege. And, know, that's why it's so special. And that's why, you know, these talents, these men and women work so hard, you know, once they get to that show.
Yeah, it's certainly clear. I was watching one of the network specials on, you know, WrestleMania Monday, the you know, the Raw after WrestleMania, and you can see how much it meant to people just to be there, you know, straight after WrestleMania. One thing being WrestleMania, being there as well, you know, that whole crowd and just the whole atmosphere and being a part of all that weekend and just what it means to the performers. And it is quite humbling actually to see them so bowled over by the reactions and the crowd and the responses. So, I mean, that's a big thing now. I think WrestleMania, as much as it is a little bit disappointing in some of the direction, as you mentioned, that they've gone with, you know, so many part-timers rather than sort of focusing on, you know, the guys that are here and now week in, week out, and the guys for the future. What's become more apparent in recent years is, you know, people making that, you know, that special effort to get across their crowds from all over Europe, and especially, like you say, you know, the fans from the UK, all over the UK, giving it that kind of special atmosphere, almost like it is a football match. And you know, the wrestlers really, really seem to revel in it. They love it. Even the commentators love it. And it's just such a unique atmosphere, isn't it, when you get such a diverse group of people together like that to celebrate something that everyone sort of enjoys.
Oh, totally. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's, you know, a really special time. And, my only real regret as a fan is that I've not been to WrestleMania as yet. And I know so many people that have. And, I know quite a few that are over in Orlando right now. And, you know, I can see their tweets and their Facebook updates. You know, they're having a whale of a time out there, and it's, you know, amazing. As we talked about at the start of the show, how tens of thousands of people, who all share a common, love and appreciation for pro wrestling assemble in, this particular location, whether it's Orlando or, San Francisco, New York, wherever it might be, from one year to the next. And, you know, whether it's at WrestleMania or the many events or the, you know, WWE Fan Access, Hall of Fame, whatever it is. I mean, they're just fans everywhere. And, you know, it leaves this, real mark, and, you know, it leaves them with stories to tell for years and years. And, you know, you talk to fans that went to WrestleMania weekends from 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 15 years ago. And, you know, they'll tell you it's one of the most amazing times they've ever had in their entire lives. And, you know, that's what makes the whole weekend so special. And, you know, I'm really hoping that, you know, Trump's travel ban, is blocked for another year. And if that is the case, then I'll be able to go to WrestleMania next year. And, I'm really hoping that that's the case and I can enjoy it. If only for the one time, because, you know, that's something that I've just kept waiting for far too long, and it has to happen. So, hopefully next year will be that year.
That would be a pretty incredible thing to do. I must admit, it's one of them things that eventually I would like to do, maybe with my kids, but, not to step too far away from nostalgia then. Now, we've already mentioned WrestleMania 6. That is one of my absolute favorites. And right alongside it, I've got to say, for me, is WrestleMania 17. And that final match, that ending, you know, the Rock and Austin, it was Rock and Austin 2 that at that time, you know, their second meeting at WrestleMania. That was the night that Stone Cold turned and joined forces with Mr. McMahon. Now, I've got to say that really shocked me. I've got to say, I was in utter disbelief at the time. It was like, what? It was one of them, probably one of the most shocking moments in WrestleMania, I'd say.
Oh, it was, absolutely. It almost the equivalent of John Cena, I don't know, turning on Nikki Bella this weekend and, hooking up with Maurice and, you know, walking out as a big heel. Nobody would expect that. It was just the type of thing that it was just so unexpected because he was, you know, arguably the most over talent in the history of the WWE. At that point in time, it was just crazy just how over he was. And, you know, for that to happen, it was just, unbelievable. It wasn't good for business, let me tell you, because their ratings absolutely plummeted after the Austin heel turn. Attendances started to drop off very quickly thereafter as well. And I'm sure his merchandise sales suffered too. And his t-shirt, the Austin 316, and all the other ones that he was coming out with were just selling like nobody's business. So business wise, not the smartest decision, they've ever made. I could understand why they went with that as well, but, you know, it was a bold thing to do. And, you know, in retrospect, it's easy to say it was a mistake, but, you know, at that time, it clearly felt like the right thing to do for the company. And I'm sure Austin agreed with that direction. Otherwise, the turn wouldn't have happened. But certainly a shocker for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure I've heard him say before that they felt at the time he was going a little bit stale and he needed that, you know, just to freshen things up. But he quickly realized that it was the wrong thing to do and people just, they weren't having it. They had him beat up JR just to try and get them to boo him. And even then there was still, he was struggling to get the crowd against him. So, but what it did start was that different side of Austin's character. You know, he started the comedy bits, him and Kurt Angle. I remember the whole thing, you know, with the guitars, the singing, the cowboy hats. You know, it fed some great stuff later and really sort of opened up another niche in Austin's character, but absolutely at the time probably wasn't the best thing to do. And they've all acknowledged it was the wrong thing to do. So when he eventually turned back, it was to a raucous reaction. So, yeah, an absolute classic. So what about yourself, though, Mo? I mean, is there a particular WrestleMania that you would rate as your favourite?
I mean, there's plenty of competition, but I think that the one I'd have to pick out would have to be WrestleMania 19. I thought that this was you know, a really memorable kind of event in that you know, we had that final match, that ending of that trilogy between Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and The Rock, and I thought it was a great match. Certainly not as good as their match from a couple of years prior, but you know, nonetheless, a really, really special match. And you know, we had plenty more besides as well. You know, we had Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho, classic match, wasn't it?
That's right. And, you know, Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle, you know, it was unfortunate, really, wasn't it? I mean, there was that botched shooting star press by Brock, which was amazing for a man of that size to try that. And he nearly pulled it off. That would have been a perfect ending to that match. Up until that point, it was building fantastically well. And, you know, I thought that was a real shame that it just didn't quite work out with that final botched spot. But, you know, that was a shame. And then we had, you know, some good star studded talent throughout the show. We had, Triple H and Booker T and Hulk Hogan.
Hogan against Mr. McMahon.
That's right.
And, forget that.
You know, so, it had a bit of everything for me to that one. I mean, you know, WrestleMania 17, was a great match, a great show as well. You know, it had that fantastic main event. It had that amazing TLC contest as well. But some of the undercard stuff was pretty disappointing. So as an overall show, it was a bit more up and down. Now that's not to say that this show in WrestleMania 19 was the most consistent ever, but you know, certainly it had a bit of everything for me to this one. And so that's why for me, I'd go with 19.
So what about your favourite ever WrestleMania match? Because we've already spoken about Bret Hart, Stone Cold at WrestleMania 13. that for me is level with my other favorite, and that is from WrestleMania 12, and that's the Iron Man match, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. That was another example of absolutely exemplary storytelling, just unbelievable, an unbelievable match. It's almost to the second, it was just so perfectly played out. Just even to this day, I think it's, you know, we're talking 20 years on, and it's still one of the greatest I've ever seen.
Oh, we have something to disagree over now. I found that match to be quite boring. I really didn't enjoy it. I thought it dragged, in large sections of that match. And, 25% of that crowd that was in attendance that night left before the match finished. So it was three quarters full by the time that match finished. It just didn't do a great deal for me. I was so looking forward to that contest. I thought, my God, arguably the two best workers in North America, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, going at it 60 minutes. You know, will this be like one of those classic Ric Flair 60-minute matches from the NWA in the 80s, like the ones he had with Ricky Steamboat, which were amongst the all-time great matches? It just didn't live up to that at all for me. It felt quite flat at the end. And, you know, it was great to see, you know, Shawn Michaels, you know, win the title, and his, you know, title celebration was great, and his entrance was very good as well. But everything in between just didn't really float my boat. But I can understand why he liked it.
I thought it was fantastically, it was well paced, but I thought it was a slow burn. It was the way that they built it. And little bits here and there, and then even the overtime, and just the little tiny little thing like the way Bret Hart left at the end, you know, to leave it open for something else. I just, maybe it's because I'm there's always such a big Bret Hart fan. I just thought it was a beautiful piece of storytelling.
Yeah, no, I could see where you're coming from, but no, for me, it was just far too many dull spots in that match, and. You know, it really didn't quite hit its stride in the way that some of the great 60-minute matches I've seen, from the likes of Ric Flair and even in Japan, it didn't hit those heights for me. So it wasn't really quite at the level I would have hoped for. You know, I had really high hopes going into it, but it just didn't quite live up to them. But I mean, as far as my favourite match, I think I'll probably have to go with the second Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels match. I thought that the first match they had was unbelievable. They just surprised me. I mean, in contrast to Shawn versus Bret from WrestleMania 12, I actually thought that Undertaker against Shawn Michaels would be a pretty good match. I didn't expect it to be a classic, though. And that's exactly what we got with their first match. But when they had the second match, I actually thought it was even better than the first. And I know there's people that are very split on that. You know, there are a lot of people that think the first one was better. But the second one for me, it had the benefit of playing off of the first match. And now there were certain subtle kind of references back to that first match and certain spots that followed on from that first match. And so it had that added layer to it, you know, by benefiting from being the second match. And I thought it was just incredible, absolutely incredible. And it, just one of the all-time great matches for me. And it's a tough one, though, as I said earlier. You know, there have been so many great matches. You know, you could pick out any couple of dozen matches, and there's a good argument to be made for why that one in particular is the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. And again, that's what makes WrestleMania as an event over its 32-year tenure such a special occasion.
Yeah, I've got to agree in terms that I thought the second Shawn Michaels Undertaker match was better than the first. So we'll certainly agree on that one. And well, hopefully we'll get another contender this weekend. So that will really sort of wrap things, ramp things up that bit more for us. Before we go, though, Mort, if I was to ask you for, say, three big predictions then for WrestleMania, what would you be? What would they be from you then? You know, maybe a surprise appearance from someone, or a plot twist, someone turning, maybe even a match of the night that we weren't expecting.
Yeah, I'd like to think that there will be a turn, but I feel that they're trying to save some of that more for the next night and tell more of the stories on Raw rather than on the pay-per-view. And increasingly, we do get more of that these days than was the case in the past, where they'd save the more momentous stuff for the pay-per-views, the shows that people paid for. But you know, WrestleMania is a free event. I mean, if you're not a subscriber, you know, you can subscribe to the WWE Network right now and have a 30-day free trial and get WrestleMania for free. So it's not the same as it was before. But in terms of three predictions, I would say that the first is a very obvious one. Brock Lesnar will become the new Universal Champion. I think that's almost a lock. I'd be absolutely shocked if it's anything other than that. The second one is I expect a surprise reappearance in the SmackDown women's match. And I'm just going to put the name of Kelly Kelly out there. It was a favourite amongst some when she was in the
WWE. Not for wrestling.
Not for wrestling, but certainly for other things. My third prediction is that we will have a very confusing commentary situation, and you know, commentary will be not quite at the levels of Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler, you know, in their pomp at WrestleMania's past. I don't know how many commentators we'll have, whether it's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, but I'm sure that however many there are, some of them will be talking over each other. And, you know, they'll certainly not be quite as cohesive in their commentary. So that's a pretty crappy kind of prediction, but it's an obvious one. And, as far as everything else, I don't think there's going to be a huge amount of surprises. I really don't. And again, that's part of the downside of WrestleMania, that I think a lot of it's pretty predictable even at this stage.
Yeah, well, one from me is I think we will see John Cena pop the question. I think that's coming. And I think if Roman Reigns and Undertaker goes on last, I do think we could see, if not the turn, then the absolute sort of indication of the turn. But if it's Brock Lesnar and Goldberg that go on last, I've got this funny feeling that we might get something along the lines of a few years ago, 2-3 years ago, with Seth Rollins, and that the guy who's holding up the title at the end might not be the guy who, the guy who's holding up the title at the end of the match might not be the guy who's the champion actually coming out of the event. I just wonder whether they're going to try and throw something, a big massive curveball in there somewhere along the lines, just to really sort of shake things up ready for Monday night. So there you go. There's some predictions for you. More just before we go, last word on WrestleMania then. I know, as we said many times, you know, we do as our have our reservations of the direction and some of the build, but in general, are you excited for Sunday night?
It's freaking WrestleMania, of course. you know, whatever, you know, goes on in the TV in the weeks leading up to it, you know, it's such a special event now. The WWE will make a show of it. I mean, whether the matches are as great as they should be, whether the outcomes of those matches are what we're hoping for, you know, it will be a spectacle. It will be unlike anything else we'll see from any other form of entertainment or sport throughout this year. And that's why it's a special show. That's why it's a special event. That's why we look forward to it. That's why thousands of people from all around the world travel to WrestleMania, wherever it takes place, and you know, spend a lot of money to be there and to say that I was there. And I'm hoping that, you know, myself, maybe you, Andy, maybe our leader of AI, Gags himself, can be at WrestleMania 12 months from now, enjoying it live and in living color.
Yeah, that would be great. And absolutely, yeah. We might have our reservations about some of the storylines, about some of the TV, the general direction of things at times. But yes, WrestleMania is an unbelievable spectacle. And it really, really is. It is just a spectacle to behold. And nobody does that quite like the WWE. So it might not be as brilliant as some of the previous ones, but it will still be memorable. You can bank on that. So, guys, I'm sure you'll tune in. I'm absolutely certain that you will tune in, you'll watch it. And whatever your thoughts are, do share them with us on Twitter at PW_index, because we will be back next week to talk all about WrestleMania, the whole weekend, our thoughts, break down everything. We'll be back next week to do that. But until then, from us here at the Pro Wrestling Index, right here on the Anfield Index Wrestling Channel, thank you so much for listening. My thanks to Mo Chatra for being here. But from me, Andy Wales, it's good night.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.